Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our first 2022 edition of Kliss's Mic Drop. Sorry for the delay. Got a little scheduling hiccups that we had to work through, but we are back, and we are back on a weekly basis here. I hope you enjoy listening to Kliss's Mic Drop. I know many of you do. Today, our guest is Corliss Waitman, the fine new punter for the Denver Broncos, and it was an unusual punting competition where the veteran, 10-year veteran Sam Martin, they gave the job to Corliss Waitman instead, Dwayne Stukes, fighting that Waitman's leg was worth catching or worth keeping and developing. And he was a little raw on the nuances of aim and placement, and but he did a heck of a job, that's for sure, this past week in the Sunday night game against the San Francisco 49ers. He was really a defensive weapon for the Broncos as far as field position. He winds up being special teams player of the week. He becomes kind of the central character in a dig Eli Manning made on the Manning cast with Russell Wilson. And Waitman is the AFC special teams player of the week. He punted 10 times. Six of them were outstanding as far as placement and distance. He had six inside the 20 and no touchbacks. He's had a couple touchbacks in the first couple games, so that was a big improvement. And on the big stage, prime time, the brightest lights, Corliss Waitman came through. 27-year-old rookie. You'll enjoy the talk. He was born in Belgium and grew up in Netherlands. His dad was... he played overseas and at basketball, was an overseas basketball player. So Corliss had quite the upbringing. Moved to the Panhandle of Florida when he was 15 and switched from elite soccer that he was playing to football. Started kicking and really didn't start kicking until his junior, senior year in high school. So even though he's 27, he's still new to the punting game. Reviewing the game against the 49ers quickly, it was 11-10. The offense struggled, 9-3 and outs. We all know that. I think the theme of the week has to be run, Russ, run. He finally started using his legs. Russell Wilson is a dual threat quarterback. He's a good passer, and he made some outstanding throws in the game against the 49ers. That back shoulder fade bullet to Sutton, Cortland Sutton, to set up first and goal at the five. Outstanding throw. That throw to Jerry Jeudy on the wheel route. An incredible throw. Between the hashes, it looks like Russell's struggling a little bit. You know, I don't know if his size has anything to do with it as far as in the pocket, but it looks that way. You know, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that's the way it appears. He was 6 of 20 at one point in that game, but as he often does, he came through in the fourth quarter when they needed him, down 5. Down 10-5, the unusual football score of 10-5. The safety where Jimmy Garoppolo did the walkout in the back of the end zone for a safety. Bad break for the Broncos because Bradley Chubb had a big pick six that didn't count. On defense, the key to the defense, they've been outstanding, allowing just 19 points the last two and a half games, going back to halftime of the Seattle game. The keys to me are rather simple. Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory on the edges. Remember, they're playing without Justin Simmons in the back end, and he's really arguably their best defensive player. He's the most decorated anyway in the last couple of years. But Simmons is down with the quad injury. He'll miss the next two games. He'll miss this Sunday's game against the Raiders. But Chubb and Gregory are getting more heat on the opposing quarterbacks than the Broncos did, say, in the second half of last year. Chubb had no sacks last year. He was hurt with two ankle surgeries. Gregory, a newcomer, and people were worried about him. Getting $14 million a year and not showing up in preseason or training camp, but he sure was ready to go day one of the regular season, as they said. And also, I think Ejiro Everill, the new defensive coordinator, deserves a lot of credit. He's taken the Fangio defense and the fundamentals and the principles, and he's dialed up a few more pressures that have been well-timed and have worked. And I think that's been the key to the defense. Also, the cornerbacks are playing really well. Ronald Darby has been underrated. They don't talk about him because Pat Surtain on the other side is so good and breaks up a lot of passes early. By the way, do not believe what you hear when they say they don't throw to Surtain. They throw to him plenty, especially in the first half, but he comes through with the, you know, the knockaways, the pass deflections, and then maybe they go elsewhere. But they do seem to go after Surtain early, and then it's up to him to shut him down. And if he does, then they go the other way. And Ronald Darby has played well, so has Kaywan Williams. He has torn ligaments in his right wrist, and yet he's playing really well from the nickel situation. So now let's go to our interview, Nine News. We had a sit down with Corliss Waitman on Wednesday of this week, the fine new punter for the Denver Broncos. You're going to really like his life story. So we go through that, and then we go through how he wound up with the Denver Broncos, the left-footed punter of the Denver Broncos. And then on the other side of this interview, we will talk about the Raiders, the upcoming game between the Broncos and the Raiders on Sunday in Las Vegas. Boy, a ton of Bronco fans are going to that game, by the way. Should be a lot of orange in Allegiant Stadium. And we'll talk about that on the other side. But first, here is our interview with Corliss Waitman. Corliss, welcome. You had one of the NFL's most interesting life stories before you became Special Teams Player of the Week.
Yes, sir.
Now, 10-punt performance. You're in all the national households, including Eli Manning's, apparently. Hmm. And, you know, what's that? What's it been like for you? It's pretty heady stuff.
The game itself? Or?
Well, just the, kind of a little bit of attention you're getting now.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, you know my story, so
yeah.
It's been a long road hopping.
Yeah.
ACL injuries, hopping from practice squad to practice squad. So I'm grateful that the Denver Broncos claimed me and gave me a shot.
Let's talk about your life story. Belgium born.
Yes, sir.
And Netherlands raised.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
Dad played basketball overseas. Dad's from Pensacola, Florida. Well, Milton, Florida, to be exact.
Yeah.
Played ball overseas. I pretty much grew up over there. I played soccer, ran track, and moved back when I was 15 and got into football because they love football here. So I was like, you know, let me play football because there's more attention on football. So
well, I could see Billy Turner, who's got a locker across from you there, saying, what's it like to grow up in Netherlands?
Right.
What do you tell him?
It's different. You know, the culture's a little different, the food, everything. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not too, it's kind of similar.
Spoke Dutch?
Yeah. So Dutch is my first language.
It's yours too?
Yeah. So pretty much spoke Dutch first.
Wow.
My dad spoke Dutch, of course, too, but English second.
How would you say in Dutch, pin them inside the 20?
Ooh, okay, hold on, let me think. I'll just say like this, schoppet binnen de 20 meter lijn.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Your performance the other day with the 10 punts, I think the biggest thing was the placement. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody knows you got the big leg, but the nuance, there's a lot of nuance to punting, and that's about aiming.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're most proud of?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the game. Those gunners, they helped me out a lot because, you know, the ball has a mind of his own sometimes. Yeah. So
Mike bounces. Boone really came through.
Yeah, he came through. That was nice. Yeah. I told him today, thank you again.
Yeah.
Like it's.
It led to a safety, by the way.
Yeah.
Two plays later.
Big time. Yeah. So, yeah.
You won by one, so that's
safety. Yes, sir. So it's very important.
Your dad, he was a one of them power forwards, grinder, enforcer, tough guy. Didn't score a lot. Ton of rebounds.
Right.
How much influence did he have on you? What kind of influence did he have?
Definitely. I mean, growing up, I was a little insecure sometimes when it came to like soccer, track. I always was talented, but I was always insecure. My dad was hard on me, and that really helped me.
Oh yeah.
To believe in myself. I was very insecure, you know, wasn't sure before games and stuff. And he used to yell it into me like, hey man, you can do it, you can do it. So that really helped me, that tough love really helped me because I was a little soft growing up, 100%.
Well, you played soccer in elite soccer, right?
Yeah, definitely.
As a girl, and then you grew, you said you came to Florida.
Yeah.
And you realized pretty soon it was all football?
All football. They needed a kicker, and I ended up kicking. And it went pretty quick. Started 1 year and got some offers. Ended up going to my dad's college.
Yeah, you know, in some ways, you know, it took you a while because you're now 27 getting your first real chance. In other ways, you know, no time at all because you didn't start football till what, 17?
Yeah, 18, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but still there was a little bit of a process after college, right? I mean, the grind. How did you hang in there?
I mean, South Alabama was a great school. Joey Jones recruited me there, and it was just really fun. My dad went there, so I seen a lot of pictures of my dad. So it was a really good environment, you know, down south football. So it was a great, great experience out there.
And then you try to be a graduate transfer to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
They didn't let you, or
yeah, it was something fishy. They ended up the NCAA ended up saying, "Hey, you can stay in school, keep your scholarship, practice, but you can't play." And I was like, "Okay, well, that's an odd rule, but roll with the punches." And Mississippi State, they definitely assisted me in that process as well. So,
and then as a lefty punter, I know. Every time the Broncos would face a lefty punter, like Dustin Colquitt of the Chiefs, whoever the Patriots had, they always had a lefty punter.
Right.
So you were on the Friday tour.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell us what that was like, because some people just thought it was just about, we just need the spin, kid.
Right.
Did you feel like they were looking at you, or?
I knew why I was coming in, but it's still an opportunity. Like, people look at you, everything you do. So, racked up some Delta Sky miles, so went to a lot of states, a lot of workouts. So it was definitely a blessing, and ended up having a workout here. Got claimed, so it definitely helped me out.
Yeah, when did you wind up with the workout here?
I think it was October. I think y'all were playing the Commander. I think Tresway. Y'all were facing Tresway.
Oh yeah.
And y'all needed a lefty spin. So.
And then you get here and you're facing a veteran punter who's been around, Sam Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you think you had a legitimate chance, or you were brought in to be a camp, they talk about this camp leg or anything.
Right.
Obviously, I don't know if you thought you were getting a legitimate chance, but you wound up with one.
Right. One thing a veteran always told, I'm not going to name the veteran, but a veteran told me, like, you're like a golfer. As long as you play well, 32 teams will look at you, and you'll bounce somewhere, you'll end up somewhere. So I focused on myself and just being able to be consistent, learn from Sam, because he's a veteran, been in the league for 10 plus years, so he helped me a lot as well, and you know, just take notes down, mental notes, and look at the veterans, how they do it, how they stay in the league. So.
And Sam wound up with Buffalo rather quickly. It was kind of funny. The Buffalo game is, you know, he had a freak injury, and sometimes that's how opportunities occur. He couldn't punt that day, and you got the whole game holding for McManus. He makes a 55-yard field goal. I think you made the team that day.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's only two punts, so
Me
and Sam would have had one punt each. So I mean,
it was
definitely cool to be out there playing an entire game for sure.
And now, do you feel like that performance finally against you know, on Sunday night TV Prime? There was 18.6 or 19 million that tuned in, by the way.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy.
I mean, did it give you the kind of the confidence now? You don't need Dad to say you belong in the NFL.
Man, as soon as I made the NFL, you know, my dad passed away my junior year in high school. As soon as I made the NFL, that confidence already instilled in me, because my dad always told me I could make it, anything that I do. So when I made it to the NFL, I had that confidence, like, I really belong here, which was unreal. It's still unreal to me now. Like, I'm in the NFL, like, I'm in the Broncos stadium, like, I'm a starter. That is crazy. So every day I'm grateful, man. Thank the Lord.
You go up. Talk to Dad a little bit when you make a good punt?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, thank God, thank my dad, thank my family back home. And I'm grateful. I'm in a blessed position for sure.
Good. Carlos, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, sir. Maybe I'm going to say, let's ride and just give me the
everything.
Like
that. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's see.
That's a tough one. Everything.
Carlos, let's go. Let's ride in Dutch.
Laten we rijden.
There you go.
Somebody's going to correct me probably, but it's close enough. It's close enough.
Okay. Good. Thanks, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to Kliss's Mic Drop. Sorry again about the delay and getting this thing rolling in the 2022 season, but we're up and running. We'll do this every week. Hope you enjoy it, and hope you enjoyed that interview with Corliss Waitman, the Broncos' new punter. He punted in two NFL games before this year, and they were both with Pittsburgh last year. He showed off his leg. They had some return yardage against him. He had a couple touchbacks, but still he had like a 52-yard average on the gross. And he's got a thunder leg. I mean, he can punt him far. He can punt him high. But that's not what it's about in the NFL, believe it or not. It's nice to have that club in your bag, but you got to hit that 9-iron too and loft it in there inside the 20. And that's probably the most important club in the bag, so to speak, for NFL punters. And he came through last week with 6 punts inside the 20. We are now in Raiders week. Grrr, you know, and it was nice. Bradley Chubb at his locker on Wednesday said he hates the Raiders. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Raiders have had their way with the Broncos lately. They've won 4 in a row. And in the Raiders' home stadium, going back to Oakland, they've won 6 in a row, going back to Peyton Manning's. Peyton Manning won the final game there in 2015. The Broncos haven't won a road game against the Raiders since then. So that has a lot to do with the loathing Bradley Chubb has for the Raiders. Of course, he's also mentioned how much he hates the Chiefs. So is Cortland Sutton. The Broncos haven't beat the Chiefs in 13 straight games going back to the first game in 2015. We'll go over that later in December when the Broncos play the Chiefs twice. But against the Raiders, they're 0-3. They easily could have won all three. They're in position to win all three games and fell short. They're finding different ways to lose each week. Josh McDaniels, their new head coach, I know for Broncos country, he can't lose enough. It was not a good term for Josh McDaniels here. He started off 6-0 for the Broncos as head coach in 2009. He had that great tip that the Bengals had to Stokely, the coach's kid who came through with that exciting touchdown to win it 12-7. That propelled the Broncos to their 6-0 start, but then it fell apart from there. They finished 8-8 and out of the playoffs. And the next year, Josh McDaniels is fired after a 3-10 start with the illicit taping scandal in London against the San Francisco 49ers in the pregame warm-up, the walkthrough. And so McDaniels was fired. He's matured a lot since then. Everyone believes he'll be a better coach this time. It just hasn't been apparent in the early going. The Raiders are favored by 2.5. I understand that. They're 0-3, but they're, again, they should be better than 0-3. They really blew it in week 2 against the Arizona Cardinals. They had a 21-point lead that they blew in the fourth quarter. Kyler Murray, I've never seen a fourth quarter performance like Kyler Murray delivered against the Raiders in that game. I think he two-point conversions. It was crazy. Broncos have had trouble against Derek Carr, the Raiders quarterback. I've always rated Derek Carr the last couple of years as a number 12 quarterback in the league. Little limit, you know, he's not a top 10 elite physical talent, but he knows how to quarterback. He knows how to operate a game, and he's a good passer. Davante Adams, they haven't used him like they had hoped, and I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the fact that with the Packers system, with Matt LaFleur, the quarterback, of course, with Aaron Rodgers. That's the thing about paying receivers, folks. It's about the quarterback. It's about the system. And then it's about the receiver. See if Pat Surtain can shut him down in that game. Waller, Darren Waller, a fine tight end for the Raiders. Broncos have done a good job against him, even though tight ends have given the Broncos troubles in the past. But again, Russell Wilson, running the ball, he has to use his legs from here on out. He has to be a dual threat to keep the defense honest. My prediction in this game is difficult because I don't know if the Broncos offense is ready to click yet. You know, I would lean toward the Raiders because the Broncos offense, if the Broncos offense scores 25 points or more in this game, the Broncos win. If they can't score 25, then I you know, because I think the Raiders are going to score 21, 24 points. The Broncos have to get in the upper 20s to win this game. They can, just haven't seen it quite yet. Maybe it'll click. A few more scrambles, get out of the pocket for Russell Wilson, and the Broncos can get there. So that's as far as I'm going to go on the prediction. I'm not going to say the Broncos are going to lose. I'm not going to predict a victory. I'm just going to say if they get 25 or more, they'll win this game. They got a chance, but I'm just not sure this offense is ready. They have a Thursday night game the following week, short week the following week, where they play again in prime time against the Indianapolis Colts. By the way, in Allegiant Stadium, I think this could be a factor. The Broncos are going to have a lot of orange in the Vegas Stadium. And so that could be a nice factor for the Broncos and help them out quite a bit. What the heck? I'll say the Broncos win the game. How about that? Broncos win this game 27-21. That's my prediction. And Josh McDaniel starts the season 0-4. So thanks for listening to Kliss's Mic Drop. Thanks to Corliss Waitman for stopping by for our first interview. The AFC Special Teams Player of the Week after his 10-punt performance, averaged 45 yards a punt, but would have been more. He had so many of his punts were from around midfield where he had to pin them back to the 10-yard line or so, and he did a nice job with that. So congratulations to Corliss Waitman. Seems like a really nice gentleman, and it's got quite the story there with growing up overseas and coming here and becoming a punter relatively late in life, but he sure is effective with that left-footed punt. So thank you very much for listening to Kliss's Mic Drop. We'll come back again next week, shortened week, so we'll have to try to get this podcast up and running sooner next week. But thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next week on Kliss's Mic Drop.